This year, And you know, Christmas is just around the corner, literally. And I know that Webb and Tony Brill have put some thought to this. So you guys, however you worked it out, will you share?
Just real quick, we did a great job last year, but it was a learning curve for all of us. We went from everybody kind of taking a box or three boxes and filling them to us just bringing tons of stuff in every month. And we did a really good job, but if I'm being honest, it was kind of chaos when we were packing those boxes. And not all the boxes got packed the same. And I'll give you an example. When we went to drop them off, we opened up a lot of the boxes, and Carrie and I pulled 7 or 8 boxes because towards the end it was just like, well, we've got 4 whistles left and a teddy bear and a couple of gloves and hats, and we just threw that in there. And I can't imagine being the kid that my brother's next to me and we're getting a shoebox for the first time, and his has just got all this wonderful stuff in it, and I've got a couple of whistles and a teddy bear and a hat. So Tony Brill felt led when I said something last week about we might do it a little different. He called me, I think Sunday evening, and said, can I help? And I said, please. And what Tony did in the military for years and years and years is put together, I can't even explain it. I'll let him come up here in a second and explain it. But what we want to do this year is less quantity and better quality. So he's put together some spreadsheets where every box is basically going to be, depending on what we put in it, I think he's broke it down literally to the penny, like $16 to $20 a box. So what we want to do is see how many people, how many boxes you want to sponsor. And I think next week we're going to hand out some spreadsheets that kind of show what we're going to get every month. And then every box is going to have a wow item, a soccer ball, a pump, a frisbee, a drawstring backpack, different things. And within a couple of weeks, the Brills are going to come in with some sample boxes to show exactly how we're going to pack them. But we also don't want to take away for those of you that like to shop. So there's going to be a tote out in a couple of weeks every Sunday, but it's not going to be a boys and a girls boxes. They're kind of going to be unisex for 10 to 14 years old. And you know, we may find a doll or something to put in to differentiate between the boys and the girls. But what we're trying to do this year is, again, pack less boxes, but better boxes. Our goal we're looking for is 200 boxes. I will say we've got an anonymous donor that's already agreed to pack 50 boxes. So we're already 75%, 25% there, 75% to go. And another donor that agreed to sponsor like 30 boxes. So we're almost 50% there, and we haven't even gotten started. But that's kind of the goal for this year, less chaos. Tony is friggin' Marine. He's even got it where once at the end of the day we go to pack, he's literally going to have this goes in first, this goes in second, this goes in third, and we're probably going to be done in an hour, and then we can all go to Chili's and have a beer. But Tony, do you want to come up here for a second and kind of explain what you're doing? And thank you, for the help.
You basically covered it all. I mean, I spent my adult life in the Marine Corps, 10 pounds of stuff in a 5-pound bag, coordinating movement of supplies and equipment and Marines from one place to another, especially during Desert Storm. So I reached out to Webb and I said, I can help. And I've watched probably 100 shoebox videos and different things about the wow item and how it could be sequenced in, maximize the content by getting a 20-ounce water bottle and putting individual pens and highlighters and pencils in that so you get more. So I've got, like Webb said, I do have a spreadsheet. It's about $17 to $18 a box, you know, based on some items like the soccer ball, the pump, a drawstring cloth backpack, because they can put everything in that once they're done. That's better to really be done in bulk instead of every month. So we're going to come out with certain things per month that we can put in totes. We're going to collect it. I'll have a running spreadsheet on, you know, what we're projecting to do. So at the end of the day, when we pack the boxes, we come out at the end with quality boxes, and then any other little things like pens and paper or pens and notebooks that don't make it in the box, we'll use for the next year. So we'll have a running spreadsheet. We can give updates on where we stand with how many boxes we think we're going to be able to accomplish.
And he had a great idea too. One of the last things that's going to go in the boxes is either like a letter from the well, or maybe a picture of all of us or something. That'll be the last thing that goes on top of the boxes. So next week we're going to kind of just hand out the spreadsheet of what we're doing. And this man literally broke it down to like one of the things was like 0.089 cents. It's crazy when you see it. It's and then the following week, and next week and the week after that, for anyone that may not be here, we're just going to hand out or leave inside there on the table blank cards. And if you want to sponsor five boxes, don't put your name. Just write five and fold it and throw it in a little. We'll have a little thing set up for you to throw it in. That way, in the next couple of weeks, we'll just kind of get an idea of how many boxes are going to be sponsored. You don't have to give money next week or the week after. You just say you're going to sponsor five, and at some point throughout the year, you know, give a total of five. It'd be easier to write a check to the Well Church and put in the Memo Samaritan's purse so that you get a tax write-off on it. And then, like I said, for those of you that want to shop, that still take, you know, enjoy doing that, there will be a tote out there every week. Tony's going to collect it every month, and they're going to take orders. So that's kind of the game plan. If anyone else has any ideas, I'm open, because like I said, last year we did it differently, and it was great. It was fun. We sent a lot of boxes out, and it was also very chaotic. So we're trying to limit that this year. So
great. That's it. Thank you both for all your work. It's just wonderful to see the energy. Tony and I were joking yesterday that we are appreciative to the United States Marine Corps to prepare him so that he could be at the Well Church sending Christmas boxes around the world. So we are grateful for that. Any other announcements? Let's move quickly to prayer requests. Any particular prayer requests that you would like to lift up? Let's just work down the line. Start with Carrie and work over.
I have three prayer requests. One is my dear friend Tiffany Reynolds, and I know she's on the prayer list, but her cancer has returned in her liver, her bones, and her lungs. So she's offering also not prayer for just herself, but her mother and father. She says she's okay, mom and dad are not. Also for my mom, she's been in AFib since October, and she was up all night. She cannot breathe. They scheduled her an ablation March 19th, so we're in the process of hopefully getting it moved up sooner. And as well, she starts chemo January 26th, and we'll be doing it for 6 weeks. And Chuck Falwell, who's a friend of mine, he lost his wife on Monday, so if we can just keep the Falwell family in the prayers. Andrea will be married tomorrow.
Yeah, let's lift those three up. If you didn't hear it, Tiffany Reynolds, her cancer is back, and pray for Tiffany and her family. Chuck Falwell lost his wife. We want to keep his family in prayer. And Darby is still in AFib. We want to move up the appointment right now. It's for the 19th of March. We want to get it much sooner than that. So we'll keep all in prayer. Tony, out.
Continuing prayers for my mom. She's not doing very well right now. She's lost probably 40 pounds over the last 3 months. As we continue to take her to different doctors, we'll know what we're dealing with in addition to her heart failure. So.
Let's keep Tony's mother in our prayer and her father and the entire family. So we will continue to keep her in prayer. Thank you, Tony. Tony, what?
So Thursday, me and Dave did a pinning for a Vietnam vet, two tours, highly decorated, George Mormon. I want to keep his wife in prayer. We did the pinning Thursday. He passed away on Friday. So she had asked that we try to move it up. We were going to do it Friday, and then we did it Thursday. It was a great ceremony for what it was. And so just Cindy Mormon and the Mormon family.
Let's keep Cindy Mormon in our prayers and the loss of her husband, George. And what a timely thing we were able to do the pinning the day before. Any other items for prayer? Yes, ma'am.
Sam Riley.
Who?
Sam Riley.
Sam Riley.
He's a 35-year-old and he's in hospital critical condition. His lungs are collapsing. And so he and his family.
So let's keep Sam Riley. He's 35 years old. His lungs are collapsing, and he's in the hospital. So let's keep Sam in our prayers. Yes.
Judy's a little under the weather. She's getting better, but she could use a prayer.
Let's keep Judy in our prayers. Judy Kins in our prayers. Thank you. Robert.
I got to pray.
Great.
I done prayed every Sunday for Heather. My lips got hurt, and well, I prayed so much. But she comes home cured permanently.
Amen. How long has she been gone now?
Been over almost 2 years now.
I thought it was. So Heather is coming home Tuesday permanently. So we are glad to have her back. And persist, the affectional fervent prayer of a faithful man accomplishes much. So your prayers are faithful. Any others? Yes, Kate.
My dear friend Florence Karbetsky was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease in December.
Florence?
In Florence.
Florence.
Florence Karbetsky.
Okay.
Has, and so prayers for her as well as for her husband in coping with this.
Katie's good friend Florence was diagnosed with Parkinson's, so keep her in our prayers and our family. Thank you. Any others? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Lord, we thank you for all the many blessings that we have. We are highly favored, overwhelmingly blessed, and grateful to be understanding that the source of all good gifts is our dear Heavenly Father in heaven. We're grateful for that understanding, for on our own we would not. But we thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit that makes us aware that every good gift does come from above. And we're grateful for that. We're also grateful that knowing the source of all good gifts, we know where to look. We know where to look when we need help. We know where to look when we need mercy. We know where to look when we need compassion and absolute faithfulness. And we look to you alone. And we thank you that you care for us. And we just pray with hearts that join with each other. For truly we pray as a family, as one. So all of these are our prayer requests. Our prayer request today would be that you would be with the Falwell family as Chuck has lost his wife and just so young. Just be with Chuck and be with the entire family. We pray that you would be with Cindy Mormon in the same way in the loss of George. Bless her family. We pray that you would be with those that are dealing with health issues. We think of Tiffany and Darby. Tony's mom, and Sam, and Judy, and Florence. We thank you for that. We also pray that you would be with the person or circumstance that comes to our mind at this time. We are also quick to give you praise when things are to be celebrated. And we thank you that after 2 years that Heather will come home. We pray that that transition will go well. We just thank you for the faithfulness of her dad in loving her. How much more does her Heavenly Father love her? And may she just rest in that. We also give you thanks. On this day for Dave and Rosemary's anniversary and the blessedness of their marriage together. We just thank you for that. We thank you for all the blessings you've given us, and we thank you that in the freedom of this country, we can gather together to worship your holy name, and we ask these prayers through that name. Amen. As always, we gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation for whom we wait. If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy upon us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with the living Spirit.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. If you'll look with me to the insert, we'll use the first 9 verses of Psalm 139 to call each to worship. Then we'll stand and sing Wonderful Words of Life. Lord, you have searched me out and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You discern my thoughts from afar.
You trace my journeys and my resting places, and are acquainted with all my ways.
Indeed, there is not a word on my lips, but you, O Lord, know it altogether.
You press upon me.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it.
Where am I from your spirit? Where am I from your presence?
If I come climb up to heaven, you are there. If I make my grave my bed, you are also there.
If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea,
even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand hold me fast.
Thank you. 1 through 12. The boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down, and the Lord called Samuel again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay until morning, then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here I am." And Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also, if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. The word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
peace in our time. Grant this, we pray, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, who through his finished work has transformed us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And now, as children of light, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Second reading is 1 Corinthians 6, 12 through 20. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food. And God will destroy both, one and then the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise up us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body.
Word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Oh, King of kings and the God of gods, we give all our praise unto thee. Amen.
Gospel reading is John chapter 1, verses 43 to 51. And the next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
You may be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Great to be here. Great to be amongst you. And I thank you for your prayers for the ministry at Lunenburg. It's a different life, but your prayers are cherished and are making a difference. And with that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by that same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy his consolations in Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Speaking of change, many of you endured me as a prison volunteer, and a lot of you will remember I tend to have, at that time, a real attitude about having to deal with the Muslims and those of the Islamic faith. And that's changed. See, now as their chaplain, I have to encourage them in their faith walk. I have to walk with them. And it's funny how God puts things together. For example, the imam, who is an inmate at Lunenburg, and he's the leader of the Sunni Muslim group, his first name is the name of a Roman Catholic saint, and his last name is the name of a Judaic king. So we already sort of have an ecumenical gathering when we just sit down and talk. And every time I go to what the new political correct term is, restorative housing unit, used to be called the hole or solitary confinement. And when I go in there once a week, the Muslims call out to me and ask for prayer. And they're not at all offended when I pray for them in the name of Jesus Christ. In fact, they're sort of disappointed if I don't throw his name into the mix. That's our God. Our God makes a way where the world tells us there is no way. This week, in reading through the lessons, I needed to ask that prayer because I was looking at the four lessons, and typically, you know, we got, obviously, the Psalm, the Old Testament reading, the Gospel, and something from the Epistles. And they tend to sort of always line up. But upon first reading, it seemed like the epistle was a little out of step with the other three. Because every time I've ever heard, and I've been in church for a long time, but we won't talk about how long. Every time I heard that scripture preached on, somebody was pounding on the podium, telling me not to do this, not to do that, and if I even thought about it, I was going to hell. The whole thing was centered on sexual purity, sexual purity. It sells tickets, it fills the worship hall. God has a lot more to say to us, though. So I pray. And it opened up to me. It opened up to me because, you know, about 4 or 5 years ago, when I embarked on a path towards ordination in the old Catholic Church, there was this creed that I was told I was going to have to say, yes, I believe that, and I will adhere to that. And it's one, yeah, I'd heard it before. I'd never read it before. I'd never said it before. It was the Athanasian Creed. And it is a very contrived set of words. But it also clarified for me how that particular reading and lesson fit in with the other three. Also, it helped that, folks, it is the second week of Epiphany. And Epiphany is an odd English word. We don't use it much in daily speech, but it simply means revelation. An exposure of God's truth to humankind. And when you look at the story of Samuel and Eli, that's exactly what happens. God reveals to Samuel his will and what's going to happen. How Samuel is going to eventually take the place of Eli. Now, Eli has been not so much with title, but he's been the acting chief priest of Israel for a good while. And it took him three tries to discern that the one calling Samuel that night was God. The chief priest of Israel took three tries. And we wonder, how come God doesn't talk to us? We never hear. Well, if it took the chief priest of Israel three tries, why do we think we're going to get it at the slightest hint? Eli had to work for it that night. Samuel really had to work for it. He had to keep waking up and walking and running to Eli's room. Coming back and going, gee, I wonder what that's all about. We are called to strive to hear God's word. And sometimes it's just there. It hits us like a ton of bricks. Most of the time we struggle. It can easily get masked, just like it does in that epistle lesson. You know, what jumps out at us? Stay away from prostitutes. Don't do this. Don't do that. Keep your body pure. Yes, all that is very good advice. It is sound doctrine. But we miss. It's not what, it's why. The good news is in the why. Why? Because as believers and followers of Jesus Christ, that which is holy and divine, that which hovered above the Ark of the Covenant in the Hebrew temple, dwells within us now. We are walking, talking, breathing, eating, and everything else, temples of the Holy God of all things. That gives us hope. It gives us peace. It gives us the courage to wake up on a dreary, ugly, cold morning, knowing this will pass, sun's still coming. It gives us the courage to walk into someone that we know resents our presence and look them in the eye and wish them well. It gives us the hope to know that when the world is telling us how much we have to despair, that's their opinion. We know where the hope lies, and we know it is alive and living in us. We are the living embodiment of the Christ. And if you'll endure it with me, I'm not going to do the whole Athanasian Creed, but I do want to go through a little paragraph. Christ, who, although he be God and man, he is not two, but one. One Christ. One. Not by the conversion of God into human flesh, but by bringing the manhood, the human, into God. The incarnation of Christ brings the humanity of us into the oneness of God. One, all together, not by the confusion of substance, but by the unity of person, God and man. For as the reasonable soul, the thinking soul, and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ. Now what? Well, for many years I was involved in a renewal movement within the Episcopal Church, and it was a 4-day weekend, and we would go off and we would go through the conversion process from standalone humans to the body of Christ. And it would conclude every time with the bishop coming in and telling us these things. Christ no longer walks the earth in body. You and I are Christ's hands and feet to care for the broken and for the hurting, and to carry his message of redemption to sin-plagued masses. If it is to be, it is up to you and me. Christ has come and done his work on this earth, and he will come again to bring it to its conclusion. And in the meantime, we are called to be Christ. We have this promise. God is who God says he is. God can do what God says he can do. And God does what he says he's going to do. And we are who God says we are. And God's word is alive and active in each of us and in all of us. And we can do all things in Christ, who strengthens us, who lives in us, who came to be one of us and one with us, and now counts on us to be Him for those who do not yet know Him. In fact, even to those who might even hate His name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let us stand and confess that faith given to us as we use the words of the Apostles' Creed together, brothers and sisters. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Summoning God, we thank and praise you, because over and over again you call your people to hear your voice and entrust our lives to you. You make a temple of encounter in our bodies, in a tent of meeting in the body of your Son. You sing to us through the law and the prophets, and when we close our ears, you speak through a little child. Should we find the voice or the timing or the place of your vocation too strange to understand, you bid us simply to come and see. And so with heaven open and angels and archangels ascending and descending around your throne, we join the song of your eternal glory.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy God, in baptism, you have made our bodies part of your Son's body. In his death, we have died with him. And in his resurrection, you have given us the freedom of the glory of your children. Take the brokenness of our flesh, and through the power of your Spirit, make your church a temple of your living Spirit presence, and a crucible of encounter and reconciliation with you. Send your Holy Spirit upon this bread and upon this wine, that they may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Lord and Savior, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave thanks, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith. Christ is God.
Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Merciful God, in Christ you call us from our places of belonging and safety to the adventure of your kingdom and the wonder of your mission. Bless all who today have nowhere to lay their head, no community in which to belong, no good work through which to serve, and no future for which to hope. In the power of your Spirit, Andrew found Simon and Philip found Nathaniel. Send companions to any who experience life as isolation, defeat, or disgrace.
Make your church a sheepfold where the bewildered may enter a home, the abandoned may discover a welcome, the tired may find rest, and the imprisoned may be set free, until the last traces of discord disappear from your creation, and you are all in all, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As Al was preaching, it hit me again. You know, there's only really two religions. There's Christianity and some form of Gnosticism. Gnosticism is just ethereal nothingness. Good ideas, mumbo jumbo. Christianity, however, is real. It's incarnational. It's down and dirty. And I'm grateful for that because my problems in life are not conceptual. The difficulties I face in life are not just mumbo jumbo things that sort of bother me. They're real. And we need a real Savior for our real sin. And a real Savior who came and really took flesh. And He comes. If you think about it appropriately, our relationship with Christ, as the book of Song of Solomon points out, is truly and primarily a marriage. This is what he referred to as what God has joined together. Let no man break asunder. That relationship that God has with you in marriage as your lover and you the beloved, no one can ever break. But the other aspect I was thinking about while I was preaching is what I say at wedding ceremonies. I say now at this point, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. For in Christ, the two shall be made one. Body of Christ, I invite you to come, those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to receive the body of Christ, the real body of Christ, to strengthen and to sustain our souls. There'll be people here to pray with you if you'd like someone to join with you in prayer. May you come and to know that in Him we are one, for He is our Passover lamb. In His own body, the dividing wall was destroyed. Now may we come forth and keep the feast.
bread that we break is not communion with the body of Christ. The wine we drink is not participation in your fullness. We thank you that in the eternal counsels of Godhead, out of pleasure of creating, you extended your love and grace to your creation. You redeemed us when we fell, and now you hold us not only in life, but in death and for all eternity. What a gracious God, a merciful God, an ever-present help in the time of trouble. For we are one in you, and in your name we pray. Amen. Let us stand and close our worship, singing our final hymn. bed, not wanting to do anything, I was just really grateful I didn't have to prepare a sermon. But having heard the one the Spirit prepared, I'm even now more grateful because I needed to hear that, and I was blessed by it. So thank you, brother. Let's hear the benediction. Now to him who is able to keep us from stumbling and to present us faultless before the throne, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen. The service is over. Go in peace to love and to serve our Lord. Thanks be to God.